Imogen Clark is not just an artist. She's a storyteller, a fighter, and a dreamer. She spent her teen years in Penrith High by day, playing Western Sydney bars at night, learning how to make her voice heard and honing her chops as an electric live performer. Today, she stands as a testament to transcending familiar boundaries, driven by her roots and an unwavering ambition that led her to global stages from the US to Europe. Her songs, blending pop rock and indie pop, are like pages from her diary, capturing moments, memories, and confessions from her journey, battling anxiety and insecurity to fight for who she is and what she believes in, magnifying intimate emotions to arena-level anthems.
Hi, I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
So today we are welcoming the wonderful, fabulous Imogen Clark to our podcast. We are so excited to have her here.
Thank you so much for joining us today. You just moved. Tell us about that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so excited to be in Nashville. I just moved from Sydney, Australia to Nashville, Tennessee. I've been wanting to do this for 10 years since the first time I came to town for the Americana Festival in 2014. So it's been a long time coming. I've been here so many times. I love it. I love this town. And I'm just so happy to finally be able to say that I live here. It's really cool.
So did it take you the 10 years due to immigration process, or was it just like you trying to get yourself out of Australia? Or
yeah, you know what? It was a little bit of everything. It was like, so firstly, it is really hard to get a working visa for the US. It takes quite a bit of time and you have to prove that you're going to add something, you know, being here. And so I have actually had a working visa for here before, just for a tour that I did with Claire Bowen back in 2019. But the problem with that was it was for a year. And of course, we got hit by COVID. And so then I was planning on being here a little bit sooner. But of course, we lost a lot of time where it was hard to travel, especially outside of, you know, you couldn't really in Australia, a lot of the borders were closed during COVID lockdowns and things like that. So it lots of different reasons. It takes quite a long time to get over here permanently, but I'm so glad. I mean, I'm just so glad to be here now. It's so thankful for it.
Yay. So glad. So here's the question. And you mentioned the Americana Fest. Will you be doing that again this year? Is that something in the works?
You know what? I don't know yet, but I hope so. I really hope so, because I mean, I'll certainly be hanging around and going to shows regardless of whether or not I'm playing, but I hope I get a chance to play.
That would be awesome. We went a couple of years ago and it is an amazing festival.
Gosh.
We had such a great time and just, we got to meet a lot of the artists and hoping to make it back this year so we can get people on the podcast and promote people. Yeah, we
were amazing. Yeah, it's the most fun.
So I also heard a little rumor that you have a new album coming out. Can you tell us anything about that yet? Like when it's going to be released or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So my new album, it's called The Art of Getting Through, and it is out on the 31st of May. So really soon, like very, very soon, actually kind of frighteningly soon. I'm really looking forward to it. It's there's already a few singles out from the record, and but the whole thing drops on May 31, and I've got launch shows in Nashville and also in LA. And this record has come together over a few years, but the songs have really been written over like a long period of time. The first song on this album was written in 2017, and the most recent song was written a week before we went into the studio. So it truly has a long span, and it covers a lot of my 20s and things I went through in that time. So I'm really just excited to be able to share the stories with everyone.
That's great. So now let's take a step back in time a little bit. How did you get started in music, or what got you started writing your own songs? That's kind of a double question.
So my dad back in Australia is a musician and has been all his life. He got into music really young, and he was, you know, all through the 70s and 80s was playing in like punk rock bands in the Sydney scene, and it was a really thriving scene at the time. And he has been a working musician basically all of his life. So he plays bass and writes songs. And so I just grew up with the idea that writing songs was really normal, and that that was a completely normal career path. Like someone else might grow up in a family of lawyers just expecting to go into law. It was like that for me, but with music. But the thing is, my parents were never pushy about me becoming a musician. It wasn't like one of those stage parents things. It was very much like, as soon as I started showing an interest of my own free will, they were like, oh, well, you know, here, there's instruments everywhere. feel free to use them, and we'll, you know, help you by getting you singing lessons and all those sorts of things. So I was only 8 when I started having singing lessons, and they were classical, like opera and musical theater and stuff like that. And somewhere along the way, when I picked up the guitar, I just gravitated more towards that side of contemporary music and singer-songwriter music, even though I loved the classical side of it too, and it taught me great stuff. I just became more in love with singer-songwriter stuff. My mum is not musical, but she is a business person. And I really think I got the sort of best of both worlds in a way, because my dad taught me about the musical creative side of things, and my mum was really great at teaching me how to manage myself. Because, you know, for the first quite a few first years of my career, I didn't have anyone helping me and I was just doing it all myself. So to have a mum that was like, here's how to write a good professional business email, and here's how to go into meetings with people that are a bit intimidating or like have more power than you, and you're sitting there as a young woman. And so I had that sort of dual knowledge, which was great. I feel so lucky for that.
Yeah, what a perfect match. Siblings, or is it just you?
I have one big brother. He's the total opposite of me, though. He's a science and maths teacher. So,
wow.
But you know what? He also sings and writes songs too, just for fun. He doesn't do it for, like, he doesn't want to do it in the public eye. He just wants to do it for himself. So I'm always like joking that he got the music and the science, maths, academic side of it. And I'm like, how come you're taking it all for yourself? Very rude, in my opinion.
That's awesome. We already kind of talked a little bit about your current projects, your brand new album coming out. But what about other projects that you have? Is there anything on the conveyor belt coming up real soon?
Yeah, I mean, look, everything's centered mostly around the album, but I will definitely be touring a lot. I mean, touring is something I just love to kind of do constantly. Like, I'm one of those road dogs who just loves to play as much as I can. I played so much at the start of this year already in Australia, and now I've obviously got these launch shows here. I've got Nashville on the 21st of May and LA on the 29th of May. But I'll also be playing shows in the UK in July, which is very exciting. Some more stuff that's kind of in the pipeline for America before the end of the year, when I just go home for Christmas for a little bit to Australia. So it's all happening. Big year ahead.
Yeah, so fun.
That's super exciting.
I could imagine having being on the road would be very exciting. So that's great, especially with a new album and meeting new people and new fans and all of that.
Thinking back to music and writing music, what would you say is your process for writing songs?
Look, it's funny with that, because I always think it comes differently. Like, every time is a bit different, which is probably why I'm so in love with it still after so many years of doing it, is because it always feels like, it feels like magic to me. There are a lot of songwriters that have this thing where they say like, oh, I think it comes, like, I don't write the songs come to me and I channel them out. I'm like, I don't necessarily believe that. I feel like it's me doing it, and I give myself credit for creating this stuff, but it does feel a bit like magic sometimes when you think like, this didn't exist an hour ago and now I've made this thing, and where did it come from? Like, just kind of out of my brain, like, this is really bizarre. And it kind of like the way it comes out is always a little bit different for me. Like, sometimes it's lyrics first. A lot of the time I'll come up with a title and I'm like, that's a great title for a song. I'll build the whole song around it. And other times I feel like a chord progression or a riff on the guitar will come first, or I'll be singing a melody over and over again. And I just think every time is a little bit different. And that's kind of what's so fun about it.
Is there anything that you feel like you struggle with at all? Or do you ever get stuck sometimes? You know, they say writer's block. Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, that old thing about like inspiration versus perspiration, and how there's always, you've got to have like a combo of the two. I think it's pretty even as far as, you know, inspiration is important, but I think the thing with writer's block, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I think there's always something to be found in just kind of pushing through. Like, I think there's a certain amount that you just have to be like, force yourself to sort of sit there and really like work through it, rather than just giving up when there's no immediate inspiration. So I feel like I do struggle with, sometimes I'll just be like, I just don't like anything that's coming out of my brain today. Like, I'm just like, what, everything I come up with, I'm getting I'm like judging it so harshly. And then I think back on it later and I go, oh, that was actually just my headspace that day, because on another day, I might have loved this exact same idea, but I'm just being harsh on myself today. Or, you know, sometimes I struggle with coming up with new chord progressions that I haven't repeated a million times over, and feeling like I'm like, oh, I've just done this too many times, you know?
How do you deal with that inner critic? Like, what do you do when you're being hard on yourself? As we all,
I have really big problems with this. I am so hard on myself to the point where I just get so mad at myself, and it's not constructive. It's not like I can improve on this later and here's some constructive criticism for myself on how to improve on this. It's just destructive sort of stuff. And I really struggle with that. So I have to be really careful to try and speak to myself inwardly the way that I would if it was my best friend. You know, if I was talking to my best friend and I was saying, you know, and she was telling me the struggle she was having, I would never be as hard on her as I am on myself internally. So I try to keep that in mind, but I don't always succeed. It's an anxiety thing, you know. Yeah. It's like the way they say anxiety sufferers are often high achievers. There is like a slight good thing about it, because it pushes you to do better and better and work really hard, and it means you're ambitious, which is good, but it can also go too far in the other direction and push you over the edge. So it's about finding that balance.
So when you're writing and you feel like you're getting stuck, do you ever use things like prompts or exercises or things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I really like to, reading is huge for me. A lot of song ideas for me come from phrases I read in a book, or just general, like sometimes even just a word. You'll come across a word in a book that you think, yeah, I know this word, I've used this word, but I haven't thought about it in this context. And this reading it written down like that has highlighted it in my brain to sort of think of it in a new way and think of how it could be used in a song. So reading is huge for me in that regard. And, you know, sometimes I read a great book. It's by Jeff Tweedy of Wilco. It's How to Write One Song is what it's called. Have you heard of this book? Oh, really? Yeah. Worth checking out. It's really worth checking out. It's very short, really easy to knock over. And it sounds like it's only for beginner songwriters, but it's actually for anyone. It's really, because even for people who've written heaps of songs, it gives you a lot of great ideas for prompts when you're stuck, or like how to kind of find a song from a piece of inspiration that you wouldn't have, you know, thought of yourself or guessed. And it's just it's a really good, interesting read. I really recommend it.
Always those inspirational things help to share.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar, so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7. That's BFDESIGNS 7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
So here, out of curiosity, this is just my curiosity, what kind of books do you like to read?
Yeah, I mean, I am a really big music biography and autobiography person. I mean, no surprise there. I just love to read about musicians' lives, how they came to be successful, how they came to make music, you know, the things that happened in their personal lives. That stuff fascinates me. And so I love books about, you know, I've read a lot of autobiographies. I just find them fascinating. I'm not the hugest fiction person. I don't read a lot of fiction, but every now and then I find a book that really draws me to it. But yeah, in the general scheme of things, I love music bios.
Which do you like better, playing live, writing, or studio time?
Ooh, that's so interesting. It's almost like, to me, it's almost like apples and oranges, because I love them all for different reasons. And it's funny because a lot of people I know will say, you know, I love writing songs, but I really hate being on the road. And, you know, and I think for me, I almost feel like it's such a perfect balance, because I love to write songs, but I don't know if I would love to write songs if I could never perform them live. And I love performing live, but I don't know if I would still love it that much if I only got to play other people's songs. So it's almost like on the same level for me. And studio time, I love so much. It can be so tough for me as a real perfectionist, where my producer would laugh so hard. Mike Bloom, who produced a majority of my new album, would laugh so hard hearing me say this, because I loved being in the studio. But when we did vocal days where I would sing vocals for the songs, I always ended up in some kind of a little internally, like, curled up in the fetal position, rocking back and forth, because I always had this, like, what are you doing? Why can't you hit this note? Like, you suck. You're a terrible singer. I'm just keep like talking to myself so rudely. And Mike would just be like, you're doing great. Why are you being so hard on yourself? So I struggle with that in the studio because of the permanence of it. It's like, it's there for us.
So have you ever collaborate with anybody on songwriting at all?
Yeah, I have done a lot of co-writing in my time. I feel like I have grown to love it. I didn't always love it. When I first started co-writing, I had real trouble with it, only because I felt because I was quite a bit younger at the time as well and less confident in myself, I felt like it was really hard to be who I am naturally and suggest ideas that I might be judged for or whatever in front of other people in a vulnerable position where you're writing about your own life and your own experiences. But I feel like I've grown to love it so much. And part of that is finding the right people to write with, you know. So a lot of my new record is co-written with others. Sometimes producers who sit in the studio and kind of build up a track while I write the melody and lyrics. And then sometimes it's with, you know, one other person and a guitar, acoustic guitar in a room. But a lot of collaboration. And yeah, I find it brings out a great side of me now.
Yeah, that vulnerability and like sharing, I think is, we write together and obviously we know each other very well.
Great.
To like,
yeah, it is.
Things out,
well, when you write about something that you're really passionate about and just share it with somebody else, it's like, are they going to think that's stupid? So I totally get that.
Exactly.
It's totally off track of that. But do you have you said that you grew up around a lot of instruments. Do you have a favorite to play? And what all?
Good question. Yeah, the first instrument I picked up was the guitar, the acoustic guitar, and then I kind of pretty quickly after that went to piano. So I've had sort of the same amount of time playing both, but definitely more experience on the guitar, just because I didn't have a piano to tour with, so I could only play piano at home, so I didn't have the opportunity to like get my chops up on the piano live, you know. I feel like these days, though, piano is taking a top seat for me when it used to be guitar and like acoustic and electric. Now that I have more of an opportunity to play piano, and where I'm living now in Nashville, there is a piano, which is great. It's become my favorite instrument to play and to write songs on, even when I never used to. So it's really fun to have that kind of, it goes in cycles. Like, I'm sure in a few months' time, I'll be like back on the guitar and excited about that. So
all right, outside of songwriting, what other, and music, what other interests do you have?
I always laugh at this question because I am so like, I said this to my manager the other day. I was like, when people ask me what else I do outside of music, I'm always like, what else is there? Like, I literally, my whole life is music because it's my hobby and my job and my biggest passion and my biggest love. I'm always like, I have no idea what to say. Like, I do other things, but music just takes up so much of my life that it always makes me laugh when I get asked that question. But really, I mean, reading is a big thing for me. I love to read. It's my way of de-stressing before bed and getting my eyes away from the computer screen and the phone screen. And I also love to run. I love running, and it's kind of, that's another way of de-stressing for me. It's something I can do on the road. It helps me get to know the neighborhood that I'm in. So right now I'm enjoying like running around Nashville a bit and getting to know the neighborhood through running. I'm like, oh, this is a pretty street. These houses are nice. And
three questions that we ask everyone who comes to our show. And the first is, who do you consider to be your influences?
Oh, cool. Yeah. So I have influences from like classic rock stuff, like absolutely love Led Zeppelin and Bruce Springsteen and that sort of area of music, right up to completely modern day pop music like Taylor Swift and Maisie Peters and Maggie Rogers and Haim and artists like that. So really broad range. And I like to think my music kind of shows that a little bit.
Yeah, I knew you were a Taylor Swift fan.
Yes, I love when people say that they can hear that in my music. I'm like, yes.
Okay, second question, and we think this one's kind of hard, but you can decide. Do you have a favorite lyric or song? What is it and why? Or, you know, kind of what currently are you stuck in your head? What are you listening to a lot right now? What's on repeat?
Ooh, cool. Okay, cool. Well, I love, I'm actually really into the new Taylor Swift, surprise, surprise, Tortured Poets Department. Very fun. I love lyrics. Lyrics are my favorite part about songwriting. So I feel like that's what, when I first listened to the record, it really stood out to me as lyrically really fascinating. And because the lyrics were interesting, I wanted to go back and listen again and again and again. And I was just listening on my run as well. So yeah, I feel like, oh, what's my favorite lyric? There's so many great lyrics I love in that record, but it's for me probably right now, it's a lyric where she says, old habits die screaming in one of the songs, which I think is such a great take on that old phrase of old habits dying hard. So that's from a song called The Black Dog, which I just think is one of the best on the record.
So what advice would you give to new songwriters or singers or musicians?
Well, good question. I think that my biggest advice would just be that to be in this industry and to stay in this industry and to do any good, you really have to have a really thick skin and just truly never give up. That sounds like the most cliche advice to give, but I think it really is just picking yourself up and dusting yourself off every time. It's that old thing about like, what is it? What's that saying? Like, fall down 7 times, get up 8, or yes, however you say it. It really is like that, because people don't quite realize, I mean, it's dramatized in such a glamorous way in movies and TV. But there is just so much disappointment and so much doubting yourself and so many critics and so many opportunities to feel like you're failing. And you just have to have this ability to be able to see the bigger picture and understand that things will fall apart sometimes, and you have to have the strength to just get back up. And that's actually kind of part of what my album is about. So, and that's something I've learned just being in this industry since I was a teenager.
I love it. I cannot wait for your new
album. I can't either. And I'm
so excited for you. You all work
Thank you so much.
So now we want you to do a shameless plug. Where can we hear your music? Where can we find your social media? Do you have a website? All of that for our listeners.
Sure. So my name is, I know it's a little bit weird, it's not the most common name in America, but Imogen Clark. And so that's Imogen is I-M-O-G-E-N and Clark without an E on the end. And people can find me on all of the normal streaming services and on Instagram, Imogen Clark Music. And yeah, pretty much and anywhere you normally get your music, you'll find me there.
We asked Imogen to share a song with us, and she decided to share her latest release, which is called The Noise.
This is The Noise, and the song is off my new album, The Art of Getting Through. And it's really kind of my take on the idea that women who are like over 30 years old in the music industry are aging out, which I think is just such a silly, just truly just the most incorrect concept, because I think it's forced upon us in a lot of ways, just generally through society, that women kind of lose their value as they age in lots of different areas, not just music. But I really had like this weird existential crisis when I hit 25, which is ludicrous. I was so young and I was going, oh my God, I haven't achieved everything I ever wanted to achieve by the second half of my 20s. I'm a failure and I am going to be too old for pop music soon and no one's going to care. And then I sort of had a lot of time to process that over the lockdowns in Australia in COVID. And I came out the other side feeling like, you know what, that's actually completely bullshit because I have so much to say and I'm better now than I ever was 5, 10 years ago, whatever. And I will continue having more and more to say as I grow as an artist and a person. And so that's why I wrote the song and I'm so proud of it. And I hope that it makes other people feel the same way, that they don't lose their value just because they're getting older. In fact, it's the absolute opposite.
To the new album and moving here to the US, and we are thrilled to have you.
Thank you. I so appreciate your support. Thanks for having me and being so lovely.
Bethany and I were thrilled to talk with Imogen. We are super excited for her album release on Friday, and we hope that you will all give it a listen. Imogen, thanks so much for being on the show. It was a blast talking to you, and we wish you all the best. We want to say a special thanks to our sponsors, Brought Farm Designs, maker of adorable pet bandanas and scrunchies. Find them on Instagram at BFD7Designs. Remember, you can get 10% off your first order with the code SistersInSong. If you you like this podcast, please be sure to like, rate, and review, and share with your friends and family. Why not even put us on your social media? If you're a musician and you want to chat with us, email us at nashvillehotchickenmusic@gmail.com. We'll look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song.